like the bottle has run empty. Yeah, your heart is torn and dry. Lord, you don't like what it feels like. You're sad and lonely eyes. Looks like the highway's never ending. Yeah, your legs, they feel like lead. Lord, you're twisting and turning. Then you're white and lonely bed. Yeah. It'll be easier in the morning. It'll be easier in the day.
Well, good morning. Correction, good afternoon. This is Gordon Martinez with the show called American Honor, and it's brought to you by the RBN. The phone number to call in is 800-313-9443, and I'll be expecting your call. Unfortunately, we're having a little bit of technical problems, so it's hard for me to get into Skype. Somehow it either dumped it or did whatever. But I'll keep trying to get in. So, starting out the show, as usual, I always like to read the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics and the Oath of Honor that most, if not all, police officers recite and swear to before they don the gun and the badge. So, without any further ado, Law Enforcement Code of Ethics. As a law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, to protect the innocent against deception, the weak against oppression or intimidation, and the peaceful against violence or disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all men to liberty, equality, and justice. I will keep my private life unsullied as an example to all. Maintain courageous calm in the face of danger, scorn, or ridicule. Develop soft restraint and be constantly mindful of the welfare of others. Honest in thought and deed in both my personal and official life. I will be exemplary in obeying the laws of the land and the regulations of my department. Whatever I see or hear of a confidential nature or that is confided to me in my official capacity will be kept ever secret unless revelation is necessary in the performance of my duty. I will never act officiously or permit personal feelings, prejudices, animosities, or friendship to influence my decision. With no compromise for crime and with relentless prosecution of criminals, I will enforce the law courteously and appropriately without fear or favor, malice or ill will, never employing unnecessary force or violence, and never accepting gratuities. I recognize the badge of my office as a symbol of public faith, and I accept it as a public trust to be held so long as I am true to the ethics of the police service. I will constantly strive to achieve these objectives and ideals, dedicating myself before God to my chosen profession, law enforcement. Well, that pretty much sums it up, folks. So the next time you run into a police officer, which more than likely will be on some type of traffic stop, understand that this individual has taken an oath like this before donning the gun and the badge. And it pretty much is a complete array of everything that a police officer is all about. And after a while, after going through the academy and all the examinations and exercises that you have to go through to become a law enforcement officer, and then you finish it off by taking this oath. And in my case, this particular oath, the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics, which was established in 1956 in California, that's the original one that I swore to and took my oath of oath of honor for. So, yeah, we have, law enforcement has, you know, a small, very small percent, less than 1% of bad apples that make it through there, that actually took the badge or the oath of honor and disgraced it, and with it disgraced every other man, woman that donned the badge and the gun and the uniform. So it's a it's something to kind of think about, and especially when the haters out there only take a portion of, let's say, some kind of a video that that appears that the officer is abusing his authority, but before even all the facts are in, or what the entire situation is all about, put a caption in there that is very negative to law enforcement, and helps to diminish or demonize the law enforcement officer's role in society. Let me tell you something. I read years ago, I believe it was about 25 to 30 years ago, about a certain state in Canada that the police went on strike. And I'm thinking it's Alberta. They went on strike for about 48 hours and for higher wages and better benefits. And of course, this was after negotiations and everybody trying to come up with some kind of settlement, but failed to do so. $1.7 billion worth of damage occurred to that particular state, and the police, who only maintained a very skeleton crew in the police department, I believe it was the RCMP. So, anyway, after the 48 hours, I mean, that kind of damage done by citizens in that particular country. And the police went back to work 48 hours later, full strength, and they got their raise and they got their benefits and stuff. But it just shows you how important the law enforcement community is. And for those of you that don't know, somebody put something in the rules and regs that police could not strike. And they can threaten to, I guess, maybe have the blue flu or some other reason of not showing up for work. But it has an impact. And generally, they try to keep that very quiet if the police are very disgruntled about their pay and their benefits and their treatment. And believe it or not, it's mostly the treatment by upper police management. It's getting to the point where it's almost sickening to even think about the control that the upper police management try to impose, especially when they're corrupted. And they use the real police officers, the ones on the street in the investigative units, as tools in order to cover up their own corruption, but also to control the police, the real police, and prevent them from exposing them. And that's where I think most of the emphasis and most of the animosity between the rank and file and the upper police of management. So it's just something to think about. And since I've put my email address out there, coper71@hotmail.com, I've been getting a lot of emails, and some of them are regarding that person's own personal possible law violation, and mostly has to do with domestic violence, actually. I used to specialize in this particular crime, or I guess it would be called a crime because it was an extortion, and it had to do with, gentlemen in different businesses coming to our lovely city, Las Vegas, and for convention or for any other reason, and then engaging in flagrant delecto with some fallen dove, just as a quickie type of dating period. And then all of a sudden that businessman calls us up and tells me that he's being extorted by this fallen dove that obtained certain personal information about the businessman's family and wife and kids and the rest of his family, and now is using it against him in order to extort money from him, more money from him, in order to keep quiet. Well, after a while, there were just so many, and it used to be diverted throughout the section, robbery section, which handled kidnappings and extortions and robberies and those type of crimes against persons. Well, this also applies. So it got to the point where I never really prosecuted all that many because, again, the situation is that here the businessman comes to Las Vegas, he meets some fallen dove, they have an affair, and usually the businessman is married. And then the fallen dove extorts money and or favors from the businessman, or with the threat of telling the wife what hubby's been doing over here in Las Vegas. This is not unusual, folks. It happens all the time. I, for one, have a great deal of respect for the institution of marriage. I, however, have been divorced since 1996, I think. Yeah, 1996. And it took several years for me to get divorced, and basically the argument was just merely over property. Had a couple of kids, and those things just didn't work out. It just didn't take. But anyway, but I never did the infidelity part. Had an affair with anybody else or anything like that. I was just one of those square kind of guys that basically followed his vow in the Catholic Church and got married there. But a lot of unforeseen circumstances occurred, and it just basically didn't take. But when I hear men mostly call up and say, "Oh, this is what they did," and now the fallen dove. I like to use fallen dove rather than hooker. The fallen dove now has, I guess, maybe during pillow talk, the businessman or the male married man basically told a lot of intimate details about his family and his wife and his kids. And now the fallen dove is going to use that information against him in order to obtain money and under false pretenses. So, yes, it is against the law, and yes, the other person threatening to expose the secret that the male or the married person doesn't want to be exposed. And, that is against the law, and that person can be prosecuted. However, it's highly unlikely because the offender or the male victim, as it were, doesn't want that information to be exposed. Well, it's almost impossible to keep that information quiet. Generally, it's handled by the police department contacting the fallen dove and explaining to her that she's breaking the law and that she believes that deceased, all the threats, and then just go away and not bother the person anymore, and then the entire situation will be forgotten. The only other alternative that anybody can come up with is for the spouse, the married spouse, to immediately turn around and admit his discretion, indiscretion, I should say, and just throw himself on the sword and see what happens, and see if the spouse will forgive him or not. Well, from my experience, and like I said, I have a great deal of respect for the institution of marriage, but unless you're ready to make that full-blown commitment to the other person, and that you have 100% trust of the other person, it's not going to work. And especially when you come out with something where, let's just say, the male was sleeping with another woman, and then admits to his wife that he slept with this other woman. And she says, oh, I forgive you, everything's going to work out, we're going to work on making our marriage trustworthy and solid again. And you know what, folks, that's all BS. It doesn't work. Somewhere along the line, the spouse is going to get even with that other spouse for cheating on them. Betrayal is the absolute worst part of cheating on your spouse. That's all there is to it, and it's never forgotten. Whatever trust that you had before will never be regained fully. I'm not saying that you can't work on it. I'm just saying that it's always going to be there. That seems to be the one that that always does it. You can probably admit to every other fault in the world, but when you cheat on your marriage and when you cheat on your spouse, it's one of those things that's just never forgotten. And they may say it on TV and all these reality shows. Oh, yeah, he admitted to me what he did, and he asked for my forgiveness, and I forgave him, and we're just working on that. Well, they may have forgiven him, but they never, ever forget. So it's just one of those things, and that would be my advice to anybody that's planning on getting married is, one, you must marry your best friend, and you must trust that other person, and they must trust you 100% of the time. So that's where it's at, and it seems like I'm getting those kind of questions because I used to handle that stuff for the police department, for the LVMPD. I was in the Investigative Services Division of Crimes Against Persons for over 15, 16 years or so. And that was kind of like a constant question that was coming around. And that phone call, I would listen to the person that had cheated on his spouse cry and scream and yell and blame the police department because they can't stop this. Well, folks, let me tell you, it's just like one of those kind of crimes, that extortion type, that you're never going to keep it quiet. It's always going to come out. So my advice would be just to tell the truth, tell your spouse what happened, and I go from there. So anyway, it's time to take a break, and I will try to get this Skype thing working a little better, and I'll be back with you. Sunday pass on by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know damn well I won't. Working for a living, working for a living.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with colostrum LD. How about some fat burners, or maybe some joint aid, or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. Getthetea.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If the lonely night surrounds you, yeah, you weighed down by gloom. No, you don't like what it feels, in your dark and dirty room. It'll be easier in the morning. Looks like the bottle has run empty. Yeah, your heart is torn and dry. Lord, you don't like what it feels like. You're sad and lonely eyes. Looks like the highway's never ending. Yeah, your legs, they feel like lead. Lord, you're twisting and turning. Then you're white and lonely bed. Yeah, it'll be easier in the morning. It'll be easier in the day.
Gordon Martinez with American Honor, brought to you by the RBN. Call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Call in and please be of the same mindset that that I am, and that is my goal is exposing corruption in federal and state and local government, particularly in the state of Nevada, which is just target-rich environment. The latest quest that I have and I've been working on, and I've been receiving a lot of good information, is the exposure of the voting machine fraud that is now pretty much prevalent throughout the United States. My understanding is 11 states so far have filed a federal complaint with regards to electronic voting machines, but you know how that goes. The weapon that the government uses against you is called attrition, and it is just an insidious system that they've used against regular, ordinary, everyday people, especially if they file a complaint or they're somehow injected into the court system, either righteously or illegally, either or. But attrition is the weapon that the court system uses against everybody, where they just stretch it out and keep you incarcerated, break you down mentally and physically. And when I say physically, just like in the case of Ryan Bundy up in Burns, Oregon, who was part of the Bunkerville standoff in 2014, he's incarcerated, he's in solitary confinement, and he is being mentally and physically abused and directly physically abused lately by getting beat up by guards. And, of course, it's in the private prison system, the private corrections system, which, just like South America, they're pretty much prone to bribery and coercion, and will do whatever it takes, whatever they're told to do against their clients and their prisoners. This is just a despicable situation that's going on, but the most present or prevalent one that needs to be addressed is these electronic voting machines. How many of you out there know that these voting machines are made in South America, and mostly, I believe, in Venezuela, from companies that are owned by rather dubious individuals, and possibly or allegedly by George Soros? Now, how does that work? How does that kind of grab you? That American electronic voting machines in our election process that are used nationwide are made in South America. Well, isn't that just special? South Americans make our electronic voting machines. And here we have third world countries that are prone to bribery and coercion. And they're making our electronic voting machines. Well, isn't that special? They also make in Las Vegas, they also make our slot machines, too. But nobody really cares about that, and everybody knows about that. But they don't know is that electronic voting machines have been around for about 15 years or 20 years. That is that they're easily contaminated and tampered with. And from my information, and I mean this is from information that I've researched through YouTube and the secondary news media, because the mainstream news media doesn't want to cover it, is that these experts, these computer experts, back in 2007, have testified before legislators in each state. And they tell you how it's done. They show you. They explain to you who, what, where, and why these electronic voting machines are tampered with at the company, at the beginning. And that to find the origination of this tampering and who's doing it is virtually impossible, unless you have the original computer codes that allow that type of inspection. They've even talked about these hidden secret programs that are put in these electronic voting machines, and it just makes you sick. in that if you, anybody even begins to start looking at these type of machines, the programs themselves, I guess it's just like a virus that they put in there. It disappears and destroys itself so that nobody can even look at them. Well, it really doesn't matter, because if anybody ever wanted to question the fact that these machines are tampered with, there's so many levels of security now that prevents anybody from even looking. So who can even look inside one of these voting machines or these tabulation machines to find out if they've been tampered with? Well, I'm not after the blame game, folks. Understand this. It's too late for that. They would just wipe you out, and it would be a futile cause to start finding out who's responsible for this. But there is something you can do, and that is insist that we go back to paper ballots. Paper ballots. It's not a foolproof plan, but it's the most accurate, and especially when you involve an electronic voting machine. It screams tamper with me. I mean, I suppose that most of the people that are listening out there today don't even know that the lottery in at least three states, Utah being one of them, has been tampered with and by hackers. And that's just recent. That's in the last 2 years. But nobody knows. Nobody wants to talk about that, because that suggests the fact that the same type of machine. And the one that's used for the lottery is basically a random number generator, has been tampered with by hackers. And they've received monies, and they've received rewards for doing their hacking on these machines. But, again, nobody wants to talk about it. And these machines in 11 states, definitely connected to the Democratic National Committee, they were hacked, too. And like I said, 11 states have a formal federal complaint against the use of these electronic voting machines and against the elections department in each state. But we are coming in probably to one of the most important elections that we've had in decades, and something that... that should be looked into immediately, and action that should be taken should be done immediately, because we don't have any time for a full investigation. Just insert the paper ballot, either by absentee ballot, but eliminate the voting machines, or do a total a redundant system and do both. You vote twice. You vote once in the electronic machines, and then you vote once in the paper ballot system. And then it'd be surprising to compare the results. And I'll bet you a dollar to a donut that they don't match. So I'm not putting the blame on anybody. I'm not looking for the blame for anybody. I just want the electronic voting machine to be a thing of the past. It hasn't been proven that they cannot be tampered with. They sure as hell can't be even inspected after they're already set up and the tabulation machines are set up and the voting machines are set up. Well, the levels of security to keep somebody from even questioning whether or not your vote is counted individually. And it's amazing. I mean, they don't even give you a receipt nowadays. They tell you, oh, yeah, we got this paper receipt that's inside the machine, but you can't look at that either, and you can't have a copy of how you voted. Well, that's a bunch of BS. Let's go back to paper ballot system, whereby you get a receipt on how you voted. Now, put it on CRT paper, where you got a carbon copy of just how you voted, and then you take the carbon and off you go. How hard is that? And then, if there's any question, and then folks understand this, if there is any question with regards to election voting and tabulation of how everyone voted, then it needs to be available to be inspected. With these new electronic voting machines, you can't even get in there to inspect them. You have to take somebody's word for it. And folks, it doesn't work that way. We have evolved to the point where we don't even know if technology controls us or we control technology. I mean, it's a scary thing to have to deal with. And again, I'm not advocating an investigation. It's too long. It's too late. We got until November, folks, to straighten this out, and we need to replace electronic voting machines of any sort with paper ballots. You know, I keep rereading the Battle of Athens in Tennessee back in 1946. The audacity of our elected officials to take control of a paper ballot box so that they can do the count and manipulate the count and remain in power, which is the common scheme of a career politician, is to remain in power and to become rich. Now, you're not supposed to become rich working for the people as a politician. You're not supposed to do that unless you've got your finger in the pie and are receiving money under false pretenses, making deals, favors for favors. That's the common theme for politicians. And even though I've run for the political office of sheriff of Clark County, Nevada, the last four times, and haven't even scratched even getting past the primary, I just felt that the people in Las Vegas at the time felt and voted their heart. But now that I do more investigation, I can see where that definitely is not reflective in the numbers. The numbers will prove you out. What I noticed in the last election, the 2014 election, especially for the position of sheriff of Clark County, Joe Lombardo and Larry Burns went to the general election. During the general election, it was publicized on TV and basically gave you early voting numbers. And those numbers are very reflective on the tampering of those electronic voting machines. The very first hour of the count, in which either the flash drive or the hard drive is removed from the voting machine and then transported down to the area where the tabulation machine is. Pardon me. The numbers started coming out. Now, right at the first hour, Larry Burns was behind Joe Lombardo by approximately 3,300 votes. Not unusual, but that was only X number of precincts that were being tabulated. Well, lo and behold, 5-6 hours later, toward midnight, the final results come up, and lo and behold, Larry Burns lost the election to Joe Lombardo by, yes, 3,300 votes. I mean, Nevada can't make it look even plausible, because if a rudimentary mathematician can see that that is mathematically impossible. The first hour, you're ahead by 30 or behind by 3,300 votes, and then at the end of the election, after the thousands upon tens of thousands of votes that have come in, you're still 3,300 votes behind. There's something wrong here, folks. Well, yeah, there's something wrong. My information now is that the voting machines have hardware and the secret hidden program in them, in that they can be radio controlled to change the numbers and to always give that person's candidate a favorable advantage. So it doesn't matter how many people vote, the numbers are always going to match on on the number of votes that were counted, but the edge will be given to the candidate that these corrupted individuals want to see become the person that's running for that certain seat. So be very cautious. And how do we do this? Well, okay, there has to be an outcry. There has to be, and legal and peaceably, letters sent to newspapers and radios and TV stations and all your representatives, all your elected representatives, bombard them with letters insisting, not so much for the investigation, but for the immediate, complete removal of the use of electronic voting machines and go back to the old paper ballots. That's not all that hard. And like I said, make it simple so nobody has to make you a Xerox copy of the way you voted. Make it simple. Make them so that CRT paper. And it's just like a carbon copy. That's right underneath the original that you're marking. And require you to sign your signature at the end of it. And thus, now you can just tear off the top sheet, which is given to the person counting and tabulating the votes. And then you take the copy. So now you have a copy of what was done, and if there's ever any question about how a certain candidate may have won by one or two votes or whatever, well, let's just call everybody back and see if that's correct. If there's any question about anything, you cannot trust these things. You cannot trust this particular government. And I grew up in a time when whatever the government said was factual, and that the government cared about you, and that they wanted to earn your trust by never lying to you. Well, we're finding out now that that's not always the case, and I guess it's just going back to that same infidelity of a married couple. Any couple that were one spouse or both spouses can cheat on each other. Once that trust is broken, folks, it's broken forever. I'm not saying that you can't learn to live and let live, but it's never going to be like it was at the beginning, where it was established that you and that other person, or you and that other relationship, trust. Trust is the key factor here. And, you know, I was reflecting upon my 39-year career in law enforcement, and I can recall I was forcibly terminated in 2014 by former Sheriff Douglas Gillespie and his other corrupted minions, and including allegedly a federal judge that was also thrown into the mix that made the final cut, whereby he dismissed my 2011 federal lawsuit against the LVMPD, former Sheriff Douglas Gillespie, et al., and about 14 other high-ranking members of the police administration. And they had a lot to lose in this. And they still have a lot to lose because there is no statute of limitations on murder. That's basically what we're dealing with, murder. The 2013 early evaluation by federal judge George Foley Jr., along with my attorney and I, he stated, quote, this complaint that you have against the LVMPD, Sheriff Doug Gillespie, and 14 other high-ranking members of the police administration will literally blow the lid off the police department. And that didn't even, there was no hesitation, there was no argument. Yes, his only recommendation is that his complaint was so involved and complicated. 19 counts of a federal violation against the LVMPD. He wanted the complaint to be more purified and not to be so scattered with so many acts of wrongdoing depicted in the legal depositions that were taken and in the complaint itself. He stressed that it should not be so complicated. He never questioned the fact that there was anything improper or lacking in that complaint. It's just that it was so complex that it was very hard to even stay on track. If you can imagine the entire complaint was probably about 3 inches thick. It's a lot of reading, a lot of different wrongful acts, and it basically started in the early 80s, where I basically had, after my seven-hour deposition, I covered it all. And it was just, it's almost unbelievable that they could have gotten away with this for as long as they did. And we're talking about murder, extortion, and robbery, and rape, and narcotics distribution, and trafficking, and lots and lots of constitutional violations against employees, extortion and coercion, and threats. And then when the murders, the complicity to murder was brought out in June of 2013 by my witnesses. And understand, I'm only the messenger in this part. I'm just the messenger. And that murder and beheading of LVMPD officer Kevin Scott Daly in 2007, November. Okay, now here is a fully commissioned police officer, corrections officer, that worked for the LVMPD, and all of a sudden he just doesn't show up for work. And then his severed head is found 3 weeks later, laying out in the desert. Well, this isn't good, folks. This isn't good at all. Especially when the LVMPD, the Henderson Police Department, and the Clark County Coroner's Office are all also complicit in trying to cover it up. If you go look at the autopsy report from Officer Kevin Daly's severed head, it's not in the data banks of the Clark County Coroner's Office, at least according to my sources. The autopsy report was removed from the computer 6 hours after it was put in. And then the kill sheet, or the top sheet that usually goes along with the medical examiner's report, it says that the death was undetermined. Well, that's pretty tough to be able to cut your own head off and then just lay it out there in the desert for it to just rot away. Well, the LVMPD intelligence section is the one that responded to the volunteers that were looking for evidence on the disappearance of Officer Kevin Scott Daly, and that's D-A-I-L-E-Y for those of you that want to research this. They were called out after volunteers found the head after they started their search from where Officer Kevin Scott's Daly personal vehicle was found burned out. Now that's pretty ugly, folks. Nobody even had an investigation working after Officer Daly's disappearance was first discovered. So it's ugly. Well, it looks like we got a pause for the cause again. I'll be back in that closing statement for my show. So stick around. I got to beware.
I think it's time we stop, children. This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us.
Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
Hi, this is Ford Martinez with American Honor, brought to you by RBN. And this is the pretty much the end of the show for today anyway. I don't know what next week is going to happen. It looks like the haters and the hackers have messed with me again and my communications. Understand that, and I've got a buddy that worked for the NSA as a contractor, and he worked in a listening post. And basically, that's why you see these listening posts, or I guess they call them fusion centers nowadays, where every communication, fax, phone, computer, anything, everything, is being monitored. Believe that. Now, he hadn't worked for the NSA for probably about 6 or 7 years, and then he just started coming out with this stuff, and next thing you know, he's being harassed. And he was falsely arrested. And he used to work for several law enforcement agencies as a private investigator, and was involved in a lot of things until they finally stung him. And basically, we're going to set him up with another job as a narcotics investigator, working with the narcotics division of the Santa Barbara Police Department. And next thing you know, they stab him in the back, arrest him, and charge him with various manufactured crimes. This is not unusual, because that's the way the federal government, this federal government, works. The Bundy situation, the Hammond situation, and the Finicum situation. If anybody does not believe that the Robert LaFoy Finicum January 26, 2016 murder ambush by the federal government did not occur. Well, again, there's some land, some swampland in Florida that you might be interested in buying. If any of you believe that the Sandy Hook school shooting was nothing more than a drill, or that the 9/11 incident was an inside job, if you don't believe that, well, you know, there's also land in the middle of the Mojave Desert that you might be interested in, but make sure that it doesn't contain minerals that later on the federal government might be interested in. The overreach by this particular federal government is just outrageous. And the greed that is behind it, and the people that are behind it, are pretty well known, especially like Dirty Harry in Nevada. The lands that the Hammonds, Dwight and Stephen Hammond, were doing their ranching on, and now they're illegally incarcerated in federal prison for a double jeopardy charge of arson, and which the federal government is famous for, is moving it up into the federal category and then charging them with a 1974 Treasonous Act charge and for the same crime, and now they're in federal prison for 5 years. And while they're in federal prison for 5 years, their ranch and their property is being leased out to the Russians for uranium. So, anyway, folks, stay frosty, and remember, trust is the basis of any relationship. This is Gordon Martinez signing off with American Honor, and brought to you by the RBN. Take care, folks.
Still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.